the fun leaves. How many of you are glad to be in church this morning?
Amen.
One day I'm going to get this Bible fixed. I'm telling you, I'm going to lose it. I mean, it's going to come flying out at somebody eventually. All right. It is so good to be back here this morning. Thank you so much for being here for Sunday school. Hope you enjoyed that time, but I'm glad you're here at church. It's good to see all the visitors. Amen. It's always good to see visitors come in. This morning, we're going to kind of go against my dad's rule of thumb. My dad's always told me you don't talk about two things in the pulpit. One are politics. Amen to that. Two is football. But we're going to talk about football today, I can guarantee you that. And my team lost. So I'm glad somebody's on my side. You felt my pain. Now, we're going to get into that here in a minute, a little bit about football, but take your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I like to read Scripture, and I'm going to read three different verses, and then we're going to kind of preach on them a little bit. We're going to kind of jump a little bit over these three verses, so just kind of follow along with me. I'm going to give you a little bit of time to catch them, because I want you to see it for yourself. All right. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 31, the Bible says, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." Turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17. Colossians 3 and verse 17. I could have picked a lot more scriptures, but I stuck with some easy ones to find, right? Colossians chapter 3. Verse 17, the Bible says, "And whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." Now, one more place I want you to look is Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. Verse 36. Romans chapter 11 and verse 36. The Bible says, "For of Him and through Him and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen." All right, let's open in a word of prayer this morning. Scott, please open some word of prayer, please. Amen. Now, these three scriptures, if you read them, you realize they kind of match a little bit, right? They kind of go together. They kind of all have the same type of thing. "Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God." Colossians, "And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him and for of Him. And through Him and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever," in Romans chapter 11. So you have all these three scriptures, and they kind of all say similar things. And it's talking strictly about saying, hey, if you're saved, you should do everything to the glory of God, right? Everything that you do in your life should be to the glory of God. But we don't always live like that. We don't always do that. Not everything. Now, when we come here on Sunday morning, guess what? We do it right. Because it's easy to do it here. You come into church, and I've come to the conclusion that's even kind of going away. Let's just get real, okay? That's something that's kind of dwindling away. I remember some good advice when I was a young guy. I was in high school. And I remember our youth pastor, which is my uncle. He's the pastor at Victory Baptist now, Joey Bird. And he used to always get us in there for youth group, and he would sit there, and we didn't have prayer time like most people do. He was trying to teach us something. So what he would make you do is we would get up there and we would get ready to pray, and he would make you get down on your knees on right in front of your chair. Everybody, all the people in the youth group, you had to kneel down by your chair right there. And you just prayed to God. Nobody prayed out loud. Joey would do that at the very end after he gave you some time, but he wanted you to actually get alone and talk with God before we went into the service. It was a very good thing. You know why? Because it taught me to ask God to give me something out of the Word of God. He was trying to train some teenagers that actually could say, hey, God, I need to get something out of this message. I need to learn something from the Word of God. But as adults, we don't do that as much anymore. Not even the ones that go to church. You know what I hear a lot? Man, I was praying for such and such. I was really hoping they'd get something out of your message. Oh, glory to God. Man, I knew it was speaking to them. Heard that one. I could just see they were shaking in. Why are you worried about them? You ever thought about worrying about yourself? I'm all for praying for other people. I think you ought to do it. I think you ought to pray for them every single day. But when you come to this place, maybe you ought to ask God to help you. Maybe if you'd move every once in a while, maybe they would. You ever thought about that? You're sitting there praying for somebody, sitting there going, man, God, get all over. Maybe God ought to get all over you, and then God will get all over them later. You see, that's what we come in, that's what we go to church for now, is to pick on everybody else. Hey. Preaching this morning, ain't it? Already. You're so worried about everybody else instead of worried about yourself. Why? Because you don't do all things to glorify God. Not everything in word or deed. Now, we have a lot of words. We could talk a good game, right? That's what you come to church. You could talk a good game. You could talk about how spiritual you were. Some of you act like you... I love this one, too. I love this one. When you put a lot of money in the offering plate. Y'all seen them, right? You've seen them. They don't hide it. They take that big wad and they kind of slip it in there like they better than everybody else because they gave more money than they did. They don't want to tell you it's just a wound up bunch of ones. You know, God don't really care how much you give. God don't care how rich you are. God don't care how poor you are. He says do all things to Him. All. If you give a lot, great. Amen. But if you do it to the glory of God, that's great. If you don't do it to the glory of God, keep it in your pocket. You say, you can't believe a preacher would say that. Guess what? I got another job. And if I was full-time, guess what? I'd still say it. Because God takes care of what He needs to take care of. He doesn't need your money to do it. Amen. Just because you give a lot of money doesn't mean you're more spiritual than somebody else. Just because you're poor doesn't mean that you're less spiritual than somebody else. Do you give it all to God? I've seen some people give up. I watched a young gentleman one time. I was singing with Gold City. There's an old gentleman. He sat right about the second row. We sang, and I'm talking about we sang hard that night. It was a good crowd of people, and they seemed to enjoy it. And, man, we was just getting it for everything we had. We sang every fast song in the book. They was clapping, hooping, and hollering. We sang the ballads. They was crying. It was a great service. Had a great time. And I'm sitting there just singing everything I got, singing my guts out, just singing. You get to offering time, and in offering time now, when you sing with Gold City, what you'd do is you'd come set up in the choir loft up here. That's where we'd sit. Because we had product pitches and all that stuff we had to do afterwards. So I'd come up here and I'd sit there and I'd sit beside our piano player, Brian Elliott. Hate him to this day. I'm just playing. I love Brian. If he's here, I'd tell him I hate him too. But me and Brian would sit there and we'd pick and we'd cut up and we'd laugh and all that kind of stuff. And we would just sit there and kind of enjoy our time while we were taking a break. And I remember watching those offering plates go by. Man, you'd see them people put them big money in there. You're thinking, boy, I'm going to have me a good paycheck this week. But I remember watching that old man sit over there in that little second pew right there. He didn't look like he had a whole lot of anything, and he threw a quarter in there. He threw a quarter in there. They shouting amen back there. You see that? That preaching is resonating through there. We need to bring them back in here so they can make y'all more lively. The only time y'all look up is when y'all hear kids and y'all wondering what's going on. They sat right there and put that quarter in there. And I remember Brian looking at me and him sitting there going, well, that wasn't a whole lot. I said, no, it wasn't. And I remember that young man or that older man coming to that back to our table. We had our table in a little foyer area back there. And he'd come walking up. Man, I'd love to buy a CD from you. I just ain't got it. He said, but I put what I had in that offering plate. I hope it helps you get down the road. But a quarter don't mean nothing to a gas tank and a bus. But it meant the world to him. And I believe God could have took that one quarter and filled that bus up and drove us wherever we needed to drive off that quarter. You say it don't work that way. It does. Why? Because he did all things to glorify God. Everything he had, he gave it to glorify God. It wasn't about somebody seeing him. It wasn't about somebody trying to make him better than what he was really. He was just doing what God laid on his heart to do. That's all that it was. But what about you? Do you do what God wants you to do? He just died on the cross for your sins, right? Amen. He just died on the cross. He just shed his blood for each and every one of us. You think that we'd actually get a little bit of concern about us and start worrying about other people, right? You think we'd start telling somebody about Jesus Christ every once in a while. You think we'd want to see more people come to Jesus Christ. You think we'd want them to learn what the Word of God says. We think you'd want them to learn what the Word of God is. You think you'd want them to know what truth is. But yet we don't do that. Why? Because we'd rather just sit in the pew and do nothing. Sit in the pew and do nothing. And some of you have great opportunity. Everybody has an opportunity, but some of you have great opportunity. Great opportunity. As a preacher, yeah, I get it. I have an opportunity. Why? Because I'm in front of you every single solitary week. I'm in front of you. I saw this quote, and I wasn't going to use it because I kind of thought it was mean, and then I realized I'm kind of mean, so. You ain't supposed to say amen to everything, brother. He was probably on your Facebook page. Every church wants a great pastor. Amen? Until they find one that requires them to be great Christians. That changes things, don't it? Well, we want the pastor to just get it all the time. Never have an off day. But when he expects something out of you, everything changes. You see, I want you to do all things to the glory of God. Everything in your life, I want you to do it to the glory of God. When you go to school as a kid, just glorify God. Well, I don't know how to do that. Just start with something. Pray at lunch. You'll look different from everybody. Read your Bible when you have an opportunity to. Guess what? They can't take it away from you. I don't care what they say. They can't take it away from you. Try it. Do something for God. Us that work, guess what? You see people every single solitary day you can talk about Jesus Christ to. You say, I don't know how to. Just start. Just start. Just give it a shot. You say, well, I work by myself. Guess what? You go to the store, right? Maybe you ought to tell somebody there. Some of y'all are teachers, and you have a really big responsibility because you see a lot of people. And I get maybe you have to be a little tactful about how you do things. I understand. I understand the day and age we live in, but you still have a responsibility. You still have a responsibility to try to share Jesus Christ with somebody. To try to help somebody. you still have that responsibility because you have that platform that God's given you. He gave it to you for a reason. Every single one of you have a job. Some of you are retired. Six Saturdays and a Sunday. I like that one. Some of you are retired. That's great. Guess what? You got plenty of time. Every time I call Brother Tim, I ain't busy. He's the busiest, unbusy person I know. Always doing something. But you can be an encouragement. You see, that's one thing about him. You can call him at any time and he can encourage you because he can sit there and say, you know what, I can put this on hold for a minute. That may not mean a lot to you, but it means a whole lot to me. Because sometimes I need it. Sometimes you need it. Why? Because he wants to do all things to glorify God. Not just some of them. All of them. So here's where we're going to talk about football, right? Amen. Watch the game Saturday. Everybody watch the game? Most of you watch the game? Some of you are Auburn, Alabama fans. That's whatever. Okay. Alabama. Eh. War Eagle anyway. That's why I wore all blue. I'm mourning. You watched the game yesterday. And I hope you enjoyed it. I really do. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope that you were entertained by the game. That's what it is. It's a game, and it's to entertain you. It's to give us something to talk about and go back and forth, and that's all fun, and I like all that. We've talked about it all week at work, the Iron Bowl. Everybody in there but two of us are Alabama fans. So you can imagine, out of 20 people, two of us Auburn fans are just taking it. But we was kicking back as hard as possible. You know, we was, you know, go crazy Cadillac and all that good stuff. And he is crazy, I'll give him that. But we was right there, man. We were talking about the game. We were talking about how it was going to lay out. We were talking about how we wanted our teams to win and all this kind of stuff. And I got thinking about, you know, Cadillac Williams. I remember him in high school. See, that was my day. That was when I was playing football. And I loved the game of football, okay? I was not that good at it, but I loved it. I remember back in that day, they had them big cowboy collars everybody wore, and everybody wanted one. I had me one of them. I don't know if it did any good, but it looked good. You put that shirt over the top end of it, you can see that name back there across it. I liked it. Big old number 73 right there in the back, boy. I was ready to go. I loved football. And I remember watching them play when I was in high school and how they did so good back in 04 and all that, and just getting it. Ronnie Brown. Cadillac, and they was just killing it. Thought it was great. Now all these years later, he becomes the coach at Auburn. And though I think he's a great coach, I think he's got a lot to learn. It's neither here nor there, don't really matter. But I'd realized this over the past few, I think it's 4 weeks he's been coaching. He'd got a lot of hype. He has a lot of people looking at him. I'm talking about a bunch of people looking at him. Not so much because he's done such a great job, but because he's taken some guys and he's actually given them something to play for. Okay, he's taken them and he's built their confidence up so that they can go play this game and they can do a decent job. Now, they didn't beat Alabama, but they did okay. They did okay. And I sat there and I was thinking about what he's done over the past 4 weeks and all these different things that he's accomplished, and I think about everybody's looking at him, everybody's expecting him to do something. I think about us, everybody's looking at you, right? You say you're a Christian, right? And they hone in on you when you say you're a Christian. Why? Because sometimes they want to see if you're going to mess up. I've told you before, they'll come to watch you burn. So either you can be on fire or you can burn up, one of the two. I just assume let them see me on fire for God. Let them watch that side of me. But I see Cadillac and all this pressure that he's been under and all these things that he's gone through, and he gets ready to give his conference speech thing at the end of the game and press conference and all that stuff, and they bring him in there and he's not really making excuses. He did a good job. He said that he could have, should have done a better job as a coach, and yeah, he should have. And he talked about those boys, and he said, you know, we saw a bunch of hurting boys this year, and they got right. And then he went on to say that they've had 12 young men come to Christ this year. 7 of them have already been baptized. 12 young men. He made this statement a few weeks ago. He said that at the time they had 8. He said, we had 8 young boys come to know Christ. He said, we can't lose if we wanted to. All things. You think his platform is bigger than yours? I ain't making $400,000 a year, contrary to popular belief. Because if I was, I'd be driving me a new truck. And he don't get paid nearly as much as some of these other coaches get making. But I wouldn't say that he's hurting either. $400,000 a year. He could have just kept his mouth shut. Right? Why? Because the media don't want to hear about 12 young boys coming to Christ. That isn't what the world wants to hear about. They don't care about any part of that game except the game itself. Guess what? The game is over. And it's over till next year. You ever thought about that? Once the game's over, it's over. It don't matter if you're an Alabama fan or if you're an Auburn fan. Guess what? That game's over. It's gone. It can't give you any more enjoyment. It's done. Forever. No more. Amen. Don't bring it back up. Wait till next year. It's over. That one is done. That game is over. But Cadillac decided to take his opportunity and say, you know what? Here's what really matters. Here's what truly matters. It's 12 young boys coming to Christ. In your life, when you've had the opportunities, have you truly taken those opportunities to give God all the glory? In word and in deed. You ever thought about that? In word and in deed. It ain't just what you say, it's what you do. You talk about being a Christian, a good Christian, but yet when you walk out of that door, guess what? You're no different from anybody else. You should be, but you're not. You talk like them, you walk like them, you look like them. You're not any different. The Bible says, be not conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You got to be different somewhere, right? You got to be a little bit different. You ought to have stands for the Word of God. Guess what? They don't. They don't care. It isn't important to them. It's only important to you, but it's only important to you when you actually care about the things of God. So do you give all to the glory of God or just some of your life to the glory of God? Most of us would say some if you want to be real honest with yourself. Why? Why should you give all the glory of God? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19, the Bible says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You are not your own. Have you ever thought about it? When you accepted Jesus, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, guess what? This stuff don't make any sense to you anyway. That's just the way that it works. If you've never truly accepted the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, if you've never had that moment in time where you sit back and say, hey, I accept Jesus Christ. I believe that He died on the cross for my sins. If you've never had that moment in your life, guess what? You can't give all the glory to Him anyways because you don't even know who He is. But if you've accepted Him, guess what? You're not your own. But what are we doing? We're trying to be our own even though we're in Him. You ever thought about it? You're in Him. He lives with it. He can't get out. Think about that the next time you take Him somewhere. Huh? Think about it. Everywhere you go, God goes. Everything you look at, God looks at. Jesus Christ right there, your body. You're part of that body. You can't get rid of Him. You can't get Him off of you. Everything that you've ever looked at as a saved person, Jesus Christ has seen it. Boy, that ought to bring some shame to you. Because I hadn't been perfect. Every place I've ever been, I was sitting there thinking about these scriptures, and I was going through my mind this week and what I was going to preach, and I'm sitting there thinking about the places I've been and the things that I've done and the things that I took Jesus through. He's the one who went to that cruel Roman cross and died for my sins when I did not deserve it. He gave everything to me, and yet I've dragged Him through the mud with me. Now, I'm glad He's always faithful, because even at my lowest point, guess what? He helped me get out of that mess. He pulled me back out of that mess. He said, you know what? You don't have to stay there. You can get out of it. But guess what? You took Him with you. You took Him with you when you went there. He didn't come off of you and just let you go. He said, I'm right here with you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. So if you go down a bad road, guess what? I'm right there with you. Do you look at it that way? Do you truthfully look at it that way? Do you want to give God all the glory in your life? Just some of it. Are you just a partial Christian? You know, you're a Christian when you need to be, right? You're Christ-like when you need to be. When it fits, you'll be Christian. Because at work, Christianity doesn't fit, so I can't be a Christian over there. But at church, I got to put it on. When I'm around my group of friends that I hang out with normally, I'm this way. But when I'm around this group of friends, because they're from church, I got to be a little bit different. Sounds like to me you ought to get rid of those friends. Just saying. Sounds like to me maybe you ought to tell these friends about these friends, and maybe they'll come over here to this side. That'd even be better, right? You ever thought about that? Just telling somebody about Jesus Christ, right? But it's a hard thing because you've been doing it for years, right? You've been playing this game for a long time. You look one way over here, and you look totally different over there. Does that mean you've got to be perfect? No. You're going to mess up, but admit it when you do. That was one of the hardest things I think I dealt with in my life, personally. I remember living my life, and I was a good guy, good kid, whatever you want to call it. I grew up, my dad's a pastor. He's preached since I was 9 years old. I traveled, I sang, I went with Gold City, I did all that stuff, and I did things for God, right? But I remember a point in time in my life when I sat there and I realized, you know, I'm a little different over here than I am over there. I'm just honest with you, like, most of y'all ain't honest with yourself. I'm honest with everybody, okay? I remember being over here when it was like church day. Got to make my dad look good. Got to make sure everything's where it needs to be. Put your tie up real tight, which I can't do anymore. I remember those days, but I remember having to walk over here with my buddies and sit there and change and sit there and say, okay, now I can be comfortable, right? Now I can cuss it up with all y'all. Now I can do everything you do because you accept it. But then they sit there, and I remember one guy asked me, he said, why do you look that way over there, but yet you don't look that way over here? You never say anything off color over there, but for some reason, when you get around us, you're just as bad as we are. Maybe you've been there. I have, okay? And I remember coming to myself at one point in time and saying, God, I need you to change me. And I remember going down to that altar and saying, God, you got to fix this because I can't fix it. And I remember the shock on their face when I changed. Because you see, I didn't realize, I kind of thought maybe it'd be the same if I just went over there, they would just accept me as my new way of thinking. They didn't accept me. You see, I wasn't living that way anymore. I wasn't cussing that way anymore. In fact, when they would start telling stuff, I'd say, hey, I can't be a part of that, and I'd either have to leave or they'd have to stop. Why? Because I wanted to do all things to glorify God, not just some. I didn't want to just be part Christian. I wanted to be a complete Christian. I figured if he died for me, maybe I ought to give my life to him. If he was willing to die for me, I'd be willing to live for him. And I remember when I went away from those guys, how they laughed at me and how they thought I was ridiculous and how they thought that, you know, I would just fall off the wagon at some point in time, I'd come back. And you know what? I found that it's better over here. I found true friends over here. Now, I may not have as many, but I found real ones. I found people that when I call them, guess what? They can give me some good advice, and they can encourage me. I found some people like that over here. I never had that over there. They just beat me down farther if I was over there. You see, I found out that serving God was way more important than serving the world and doing what I wanted to do. What about you? With the platform you've been given, are you actually serving God? Or are you just surfacing Christianity? Is it really not that important to you? This morning, it's a simple thought. It really is. It's not that complicated. But it's pretty deep when you start thinking about it. Are you giving your all to Christ? This isn't just a pointless game. This is life. It means something. And you get one shot at it. One go around. It don't happen again. This is all you got. Now, are you going to be a true Christian and live for God? Or are you just going to kind of surface through things for the rest of your existence on this earth? I think God wants us to give our all to Him, not just part of it. This morning, this Barb comes and plays. Everybody stand to your feet.